But if y'all would, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 8. We'll start at verse 4. Like I said, I do desire y'all's prayers. I told the Lord I don't even feel worthy to preach this message. I mean, if he would have gave it to someone like Brother Jim or Brother Neil, I would have been fine. But I ain't got a clue why he gave it to me, but I'm going to try to do my best with it. In verse 4 it said, "Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Raham and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. But this thing displeased Samuel when they said, Give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, Hearken unto the voice of the people and all that they say unto thee. For they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. According to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them out of Egypt, even unto the day wherein they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto thee. Now therefore hearken unto their voice, for howbeit yet protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them." In verse 19, if y'all mind, skip over there. For the sake of time, I'm not going to read a whole lot. Samuel warns the children of Israel about what happens if they have a king. Basically tells them, your sons and daughters are going to be taken from you. Your land's going to be gone, taken. But verse 19 says, "Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. And they said, Nay, but we will have a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles." So I was praying last night. I was walking last night, so I had plenty of time to pray and study. I got in the side room, I got to pray, and I really didn't have a clue what I was going to preach about. And for some reason, Sunday, the Lord got to dealing with me about a sermon. And the Lord told me, he said, preach on why. Preach on why. If y'all would, stretch forth your hand and pray for me real quick. As I got to reading this, I read this a while back. It was during North Georgia's youth camp, and it kind of got to me. And during Sunday, while I was in the kitchen working, the Lord was dealing with me a sermon somewhere around this area. And then he told me to preach on why. I know that sounds strange, but when I turn back to verse 4, it talks about how then all the elders came to him. You know, like I said, they came to him and said, you know, you're getting old and your sons ain't right. We want us a king now. We want us a king. And like the Bible says, Samuel wasn't very pleased when he heard that. And he went to the Lord about it, and the Lord said, well, let them have one. But it's only because they rejected me. And as I got to reading that, it just smote my heart. Because you look at Israel in this time, Israel was at a one-on-one connection with God. God was supposed to be the ruler and leader over Israel. But here they are now saying, we're no longer satisfied with that. We want a king over us because all the other nations have kings. Everybody else has got a king. Why can't we have one? And like Samuel said, he was displeased with it, so he went to the Lord about it. Lord said, okay, let them have one, but it's only because they rejected me. And as I reckon this is more for our holiness people. Like I said, I don't feel worthy preaching this message. I wish the Lord would have gave it to somebody else, but it's sad to say we got people who've been raised in holiness all their life. They've been raised in holiness. I mean, just tell you, y'all are truly blessed to be raised in holiness. To be taught right. You know better. You sit under some of the best preaching I ever heard in my life. But yet you're not satisfied with it. Sad to say, some are not satisfied with it. You, somewhere in your life, you had a one-on-one connection with God. But you're not satisfied with that. You're seeing the rest of the world out there, And you're like, oh, I want to be like them. I want to be like everybody else. As I got to reading this, talking about we want a king like all the other nations that got a king. I got to thinking about that. You know, all the other nations had a king, but Israel was led by God only. You think about it, all the other nations were heathens. Everybody else out there was heathens. The Israelites were led by God. But now they want a king like the heathen. They want to be just like the heathen. And the sad thing is, we got people sitting in our holiness churches. They know right. They know better. They had a one-on-one experience with God. But yet they want to be like the heathen. I don't understand it. It makes me sad. It worries me that we got people who are raised and brought up on pews of holiness churches sitting under some of the best preaching I ever heard, but they're not satisfied with that. They want something else. They want to please themselves, and they don't know it's not about them. They've been told all their life, it's not about you. But they're not happy with that. Let me tell you, my friend, that's a bad attitude to have when you get to the point of, I know what's right, but I want what I want. You saw how the Israelites were here. At first they said, give us a king to judge us. Then after Samuel told them what's going to happen, they said, we will have a king. They went from saying, give us one, to saying, now we're going to have one whether you like it or not. That's a stinking attitude to have. My friend, that is a terrible attitude. You are true. If you've been raised in holiness all your life, my friend, you are truly blessed. Because there's people out there who do not have the privilege like you do. Take for me, for instance. I wasn't raised holiness. I wasn't. I thank God for a good mom and daddy who taught me right from wrong. Taught me how to read the Bible and love the Lord. But I wasn't raised holiness. But yeah, I love it. I saw something in your holiness people that created a desire in me that wanted me to have more. But what's sad to say is there's people who have been raised in all their life, but to them it's just a routine. They act like the movement of the Holy Spirit, you can just see them. It does nothing for them anymore. I remember one time, I think it was camp meeting last year. The spirit conviction was really moving into this tabernacle, and I was sitting right over there praying. And when I got up and looked at the congregation, I sat back down and went to crying. I said, oh God, oh God, what's wrong with them? Brother Daniel, what's wrong? Don't they feel the Spirit? Don't they know what's going on? The Spirit is moving, but they're sitting there. I said, oh God, what's wrong? What's wrong with these people? Why aren't they moving? They know better. He said, my word does nothing for them. He said, they're used to this, and they've grown cold to it. My word does nothing for them anymore. And the saddest thing to say, I hate to say it, but a lot of people sitting out there as people have been raising holiness their whole life. That's sad. That's sad. You've been blessed. You've been blessed. But you don't even know what you got until it's gone. A lot of them just go for what they want. I know what's right, but I want what I want. Be careful. Be careful. That's a dangerous thing. I can't help it, preacher. The desire, the temptation is too strong. Yeah, but the Holy Ghost is stronger. Hey, you hear me? The Holy Ghost is stronger. But the sad thing is, a lot of our young people don't even see the importance for the Holy Ghost. And right now, they don't even see the importance. We don't stress that enough. The importance of the Holy Ghost. You wonder why so many of our young people are falling by the wayside? It's not just our young people anymore. It's our older people. Are falling by the wayside. They don't see the importance for the Holy Ghost, Brother Dallin. They don't.
And when temptation comes upon them, and it's stronger than ever before, they can't handle it. And they fall by the wayside. But they're like, oh, it's what I want. It's what I want. I wanted this for so long. And I can't let it pass by. This is just the way I do things when temptation comes my way. Life or death. That's the way I look at it. Either I can go with this temptation, which I consider to be death, or I can stay where I'm at and stay with life. You know, that's a good way to look at it. When temptation comes your way, and it does, and I'm not going to lie, it does look good. It does look good. I'll be lying to you and say temptations were nasty. I'm not going to lie to you. They do look good. But here's another two words that keep me in track. When temptation seems so strong, and I'm like, wow, it does look good. Two words, judgment day. Judgment day. My end result. If I go with that temptation, I know what my end result is. I told my brother, I told several others, I said, if I was ever to backslide, I would have to, and I don't plan to, God forbid. But if I ever was, I'd have to be 10 times worse than I ever was before. Why? Because I know better. I know better. I know better, but I have to do something to keep my mind off the judgment. My friend, I know temptation looks strong to you, but pray, read your Bible, start singing some gospel music. Pray to the Lord. But there's so many. Oh, preacher, it looks, the grass looks so green on the other side. It looks so good. It ain't. It ain't. You listen to somebody who's speaking of experience. I know I'm young, but I got scars in my life. I got scars in my life. And I don't want you to have any. I don't. You've been raised right. You've been blessed with a wholeness home. There's no need for you to go get scars. There's not. Listen to somebody who's got scars on his life. I was talking to Chase last night, my brother Chase. I said, I got so many scars. I said, I wish I'd never done. But I can't do nothing to battle them. He says, go on. He said, what else you got to do? He said, you can bow down or go on. You can stay there, bow down and worry about it, or go on. I plan on going on. But my friend, there's no need for you to get scars on your life. There's no need. Resist the devil and he will flee. Many people live like, oh, they ain't got the victory. My friend, we do got the victory. We do got the victory. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power in the Holy Ghost. What you just need is get a good dose of that power. I know why you're wondering why in the world this preacher ain't looking out in the audience. I can concentrate real better if I ain't looking at people, Brother Dallin. If I'm looking at people sideways, I can concentrate a whole lot better. I'm not going to tarry too long. You got some people, they sit there. They're just like Israel. I'm going to have my way. I don't care. I'm going to have my way. But yet they get up here, they sing and shout just like the rest of them. They ain't no more saved than a fence post, my friend. They ain't saved at all. If you got that stinking attitude in your life, my friend, you need to get a re-dose of salvation. And then you get sanctified and baptized with the Holy Ghost. And maybe then you can control your wild self. And control them wild temptations that come your way. But you know something about Israel here? They didn't go to Samuel and say, teach us the right way. Teach us how to serve the Lord. Teach us how to be good judges. They went and said, we want to be like them. You know, that's sad. That's sad. We got another generation coming up. I know, I'm part of it. But I hope to God we don't get to where we, I hope to God we don't go and say we want to be like them. We want to be like the Charismatics. We want to be like the Baptists and Methodists. And don't get me wrong, God didn't call me to preach against denominations. But God did call me to warn you and preach the gospel. But God forbid that we ever say, let's be like them. But when the time comes, we go to these here elders and we go to God and say, teach us. Teach us how we can be a godly generation. But like I said, the Lord told me to preach on why. Here's my question to you. Why would you leave this? Why would you trade life for death? There's a lot of people out there think, I can play around with the world and I can come back into this. Are you willing to bet your soul on that? Are you willing to do that? Because I guarantee you, you go back out there, you may come back, but you won't be the same. You're going to have scars on your life. In the Bible, it talks, Samuel warned children of Israel, time out, if you have a king, he's going to take your sons, he's going to take your daughters, he's going to take your land. They're like, well, we don't care. We want a king. And I'm pretty sure when David was in rule, oh yeah, they learned their lesson. But because of their ignorance and their disobedience, they lost their son. They might have lost a daughter. They lost their land. Why? Because they wanted them a king. My friend, you may want the world. You're going to have to lose some things. You're like, oh, I ain't got nothing in this Christian life. Oh, yes, you do. Oh, yes, you do. You got something in this. You got eternal life. Are you willing to trade that in for a good time? Why? Why in the world would you do that? I mean, it just baffles my mind. I see people strong in the Lord. And God could have took them and used them. But yet they went off with the world. Because they want to have a good time. They want to be their self. Look, I mean, it's, like I said, it's not all about us. It's not. We live for Christ. We live and die for Christ. It's not about us. But you think about that. If you were to give up this Christian life, how much you would lose. If I was to give up right now, I mean, the devil has come to me about this. He's painting me a pretty picture and says, son, I got a whole life plan for you. I ain't giving the devil credit, but yeah, devil, that plan looks pretty good. But if I do that, I have to give up preaching, which I know God called me to do. I have to give up Christianity. I have to give up salvation, Brother Dallin. I have to give up everything. Respect that I have worked so hard to get. And a good reputation, a testimony. I will have to lose it so I can just have a good time for a little while. For a little while. You notice that? A little while. My friend, stay with this. And don't let there be a why in your life. Don't let people walk up to you and say, you're a holiness. What happened to you? Why did you quit? Why did you quit? The world is watching us. Believe it or not, there's actually people that watch holiness people waiting for them to mess up. And if they see you mess up one time and you slide back, they're like, well, that shows they ain't got nothing. If they can't make it, how in the world am I going to do it? Stay with this and don't let there be a why in your life. If the devil's tempting you with something, my friend, like I said, there is power in the name of Jesus Christ. There is powerful in this man named Jesus. And if you ain't got the Holy Ghost in your life, my friend, I encourage you, get it. Get in this camp meeting. It wasn't hard to get in this camp meeting. It wasn't hard to get it tonight. But get it. Get sanctified. And if you got that stinking attitude, get your life right. And I'm going to close. But I want to encourage you, stay with this. Stay with this. Stay with it until the end. And don't let there be a why in your life.